The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida. So I'm going to fight for what I believe in, because I think I'm the guy who can really lead Florida in a good direction.
Did you hear that? Let's be clear. That was a white Republican nominee for governor using the word monkey when talking about his black opponent for office. Monkey it up. Let's listen to that one more time.
Hello and welcome to What the F*** Just Happened Today, your essential guide to the daily shock and awe in national politics. I'm Joe Mdidis. Let's get to it. It's Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. Welcome to day 587. White House counsel Don McGahn will step down after the midterms or after Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed to the Supreme Court. McGahn was the top lawyer for the Trump campaign and has repeatedly considered resigning as White House counsel. He's played the role of peacemaker between the White House and Robert Mueller's team, as well as acting as Trump's liaison to the Justice Department and Congress. McGahn's successor will likely be Emmett Flood, an attorney who advised the Clinton administration during his impeachment hearings and served as White House counsel under George W. Bush. McGahn has said privately that after he steps down, he plans to continue assisting Trump throughout his re-election campaign. Trump asked former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter several times last year if he would take McGahn's position. Porter reportedly told him that he didn't feel he was qualified for the role. Republicans see McGahn as a stable force and an accessible official and were dismayed by Trump's announcement. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley said he hopes it's not true that McGahn is leaving and urged Trump not to let that happen. Meanwhile, Betsy DeVos is preparing new education policies that would narrow the definition of campus sexual harassment, strengthening the rights of students accused of assault, harassment, or rape, while reducing the school's liability. The New York Times says the proposed rules would hold schools accountable only for formal complaints, which are filed with an official who has the authority to institute corrective measures regarding conduct that occurred on campuses. The new rules would also establish a higher legal standard to determine whether schools improperly addressed complaints. Back on Twitter, Trump accused China of hacking Hillary Clinton's emails during the 2016 presidential campaign. Quote, "Hillary Clinton's emails, many of which are classified information, got hacked by China," Trump tweeted. "Next move better be by the FBI and DOJ, or after all of their other missteps, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Orr, FISA, Dirty Dossier, etc., their credibility will be forever gone," end quote. In an earlier tweet, Trump joked that Russia might be the culprit. Quote, "China hacked Hillary Clinton's private email server. Are they sure it wasn't Russia? Just kidding. What are the odds that the FBI and DOJ are right on top of this? Actually, a very big story. Much classified information," end quote. Trump offered no evidence to support his claim, and the FBI later came out to refute his claim that China hacked Clinton's emails, saying, quote, "the FBI has not found any evidence that Clinton's servers were compromised," end quote. Trump also said his administration, quote, "did a fantastic job in Puerto Rico," end quote, despite the official death toll rising to 2,975 people. Last year, Trump awarded himself a 10 out of 10 on disaster recovery efforts during an Oval Office meeting with Puerto Rico's governor. Meanwhile, NATO is considering naming its new headquarters after the late Senator John McCain, who made frequent trips to NATO member countries throughout his political career. McCain also criticized Russia's efforts to undermine the alliance and voiced disappointment with Trump's handling of the U.S. relationship with NATO partners. The Telegraph says leaders from Japan and North Korea met in Vietnam last month without informing the United States. Japan decided not to tell the U.S. about the meeting because of growing concerns that it can't rely on the Trump administration to lobby on its behalf about key domestic issues in North Korea, such as the abduction of Japanese citizens. The decision to keep the U.S. out of the loop about the meeting reportedly caused irritation among top U.S. officials. Politico says Giuliani was paid to lobby the Romanian president on behalf of a global consulting firm, but the position he was paid to take contradicted the U.S. government's official position. Giuliani was being paid by Free Group International Solutions when he sent a letter to President Klaus Iohannis last week criticizing the excesses of Romania's National Anti-Corruption Directorate, or DNA. His letter contradicted the U.S. State Department's support for the Romanian agency. Although Giuliani did not claim to represent the views of the Trump administration, he also didn't disclose in the letter that he was acting on behalf of another client. The Atlantic obtained leaked emails that reveal a former Homeland Security policy analyst who resigned last week had ties to white nationalists. The emails show that Ian M. Smith had previously been in contact with a group that included known white nationalists as they planned some of their events. One email was addressed to, among other people, prominent white nationalist leader Richard Spencer. Another email includes Jared Taylor, founder of the white nationalist publication American Renaissance. Quote, "I no longer work at DHS as of last week," Smith said when contacted by email, "and I didn't attend any of the events you've mentioned," end quote. And finally, CNN says a second Trump Organization employee discussed a potential immunity deal with federal prosecutors. The employee ultimately did not receive immunity and was not called to testify before the grand jury. Alan Weisselberg was granted immunity for providing information about Michael Cohen. And in the polls, NBC News and Vox say 55% of voters under 30 say they plan to vote in the midterm elections. About 25% are unsure if they'll vote, while 19% say they probably won't be voting. 60% of millennials have an unfavorable impression of the Republican Party. 27% say they approve of the job Trump is doing. And 44% of millennial voters have a favorable view of the Democratic Party. The Hill says 63% of voters think Trump should voluntarily agree to an interview with Robert Mueller. 55% say they believe Mueller's investigation will be fair and accurate, compared to 35% who say they believe Trump's denials of collusion with Russia during his campaign. And just a quick trip down to the Department of Primaries. Representative Martha McScally easily defeated former Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Kelly Ward in the Arizona Republican primary election. A Trump-backed Republican and a Bernie Sanders-backed Democrat both won their respective gubernatorial primaries in Florida. Representative Ron DeSantis won the Republican nomination, while Andrew Gillum, currently the mayor of Tallahassee, will be the Democratic nominee. But DeSantis warned Florida voters not to monkey this up by electing his Democratic opponent, who would be the state's first African-American governor if elected.
"The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by trying to embrace a socialist agenda with huge tax increases and bankrupting the state. That is not going to work. That's not going to be good for Florida. So I'm going to fight."
And remember, you can find the links and sources for all of these stories on the main website. That's all for now. Visit whatthefuckjusthappenedtoday.com for the latest news and headlines. Until next time, I'm Joe Andides.